In today's episode, I had the pleasure to discuss with one of the leading technical SEO experts, Darwin Santos from WebServe. And we've discussed various aspects of SEO in the context of e-commerce. Darwin emphasizes the importance of SEO in driving organic traffic and conversion for online stores. He also highlights the need for strategic planning and execution of SEO strategies, considering factors such as technical elements, trust signals, and semantic understanding. He also discussed the role of structured data and the evolving impact of AI on SEO. Overall, the conversation provides valuable insight into effective SEO practices for e-commerce businesses. In this conversation, Darwin discusses various aspects of SEO and its future. He talks about the importance of trust and backlinks in SEO, the role of AI in shaping the future of SEO, and the challenges faced by small brands in the SEO game. We've also discussed the role of resources in SEO, the efforts of search engines to give voice for smaller brands, and the implementation of SEO strategies across different platforms. Finally, Darwin introduced his new project, Add to Cart AI, which aims to revolutionize the way people shop online. Tune in for another invaluable episode about one of the most important subjects, SEO for e-commerce companies. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Darwin, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure having you here. How are you?
Thank you, Eitan. I'm doing well. It's my pleasure to be here with you as well.
Wonderful. So thank you so much for your time. We're going to talk today about one of the most interesting topics in marketing. And I know you are the expert in the field, all the SEO, technical SEO, and everything around SEO. So it's going to be an episode packed with a lot of knowledge and information. And I know you've been in the field for many, many years, won substantial awards, and also been very, very successful in implementing some of the latest, you know, innovative strategies and implementation around SEO. So please share a show with the listeners. I mean, who you are, right? What do you do these days?
Well, thank you. I'm a technical SEO strategist, senior strategist, and AI innovation manager for WebServe. Prior to that, I have been working with AMSIF for over almost 3 years and some months. And what I've been doing is working with the largest, biggest sites on the internet. That does not mean that I had to have some work on smaller sites as well. And they are all fun because they present different challenges. Mm-hmm. But I have been an SEO for over a decade. This is something that is a passion to me and that I enjoy doing on a daily basis.
Amazing, amazing. And definitely SEO for e-commerce has very unique characteristics and so important aspect of any marketing activity. Definitely a lot of brands are investing a lot in paid media, but we know that paid media is effective and ROAS is effective in addition to a very solid, you know, inbound strategy. So for you, I think let's try to maybe go back to the basics and please help us understand what does SEO or SEO strategy mean to you, and what is it like a real professional plan for SEO, because we know it's a long-term investment and long-term efforts.
Absolutely. Well, SEO is an extension of what people want or need at any given moment. All of us are searching for something at any given time, right? Mm-hmm. So what SEO is a field that tries to match what the person is looking for at any given time with the service provider or the product seller, and trying to make those two needs come together in a point of space and time. So doing SEO and implementing the correct tactics allows for that connection to happen. For e-commerce, there's sometimes SEO can mean even up to 75% of purchases for some verticals. Wow. At least 20% is the normal. So SEO is something very, very important for all e-commerce stores throughout the world.
Yes. Darwin, you have 10 years of experience in SEO, and you have a unique perspective of what's working in the field of SEO. You've been working with some of the largest retailers and brands, but also with the small startups. So what is it like a solid plan for you, and what's working these days?
If you are an e-commerce that is starting, just about launching a website, or if you are a very well-developed enterprise, SEO is key in the planning stages for any launches or any plans that you have to make a profit out of the digital space. And why is that? It is because any investments that is made towards SEO, it's an investment that is going to have, that may have, if depending on the depending on the stage where you are, or the stage of the product or service, you are going to have a SEO pay off either in the short term or in the long term, depending on the strategy that you implement and depending on your goals. Let's say you are a brand new startup that is ready to launch a product on the marketplace, and you are getting the design, you're getting the copy together. You need to bring SEO right away to plan what is going to be the strategy that you're going to use to position that product once you launch the website.
Okay.
Does your website has all the product details needed for the people with that looking for that product? Do you have the product descriptions, the meta descriptions, titles, headings, elements? Does your website or product page has all the necessary technical elements for search engines to find your product, to be able to understand where your product lies within the space of all the other products that might be related to that? So all of those kinds of considerations need to be taken in order for you to be competitive on the e-commerce space, and if you want to get something out of it in the short term. Now, strategies differ depending on what stage you are. If you want, if it is a brand new product where customers might not know what the product do, what the product does, or what the benefits are, there is something that you can do in SEO from a brand perspective, where you pair whatever you're trying to do with paid, and bring those keywords and bring those that data that paid is giving you, and then feeding that back into your SEO strategy, where you keep changing and iterating, on your product description, on your product title, product page title, and see what sticks based on the data that you're getting from the paid side. That is very important for someone who's starting with a brand new web page or a brand new product. Now, if you are a large enterprise e-commerce, you want to make sure that you're planning things out at least 6 months before anything happens. You want to have your strategy set, what's going to be done, who's going to do it, when, at least 6 months before Black Friday, for example. That's the biggest day for many e-commerce sites in the world.
Yeah.
And since that's going to be your biggest day, the strategy is going to reflect that much effort. And that effort is going to have a payoff. So if the strategy is comprehensive enough for when Black Friday or any significant day on your business comes, you're going to have that payoff if you dedicate enough effort towards the strategy. So SEO is a very varied field that allows you to play on the short, medium, and long term. And it all starts with your goals.
Interesting. So the big enterprise are more targeting specific, like, major dates on the, let's call it, on the e-commerce calendar, right? And plan at least 6 months ahead in preparation. Again, not just SEO, but probably all their, you know, back-end supply chain and everything should be aligned. And also on the smaller scale brands, it's all about identifying, you know, the key differentiators probably, and then doing the proper research in order to find up with the right keywords and definitely to be used in the product description or various, you know, pages on the website. But you're also making sure that technically the pages are built up correctly, right?
Absolutely.
So that's and this is obviously things that you work. How usually the process works when brands, for example, approach you, and trying to work with you on establishing all these processes. What's the behind the scenes work that you are usually, you know, on the goes and in preparation and also in the execution of these strategies?
So let's take a big enterprise e-commerce website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have a significant day coming up. The first thing is, what are the key products that we want to ensure that are ranking as best or as high as possible? Mm-hmm. By when the day happened. And then based on that goal and those set of products and those set of categories that those products belong to, what kind of strategies from an SEO perspective we can implement? They might be varied. One, do we have a section or two or three from the homepage, from the top category webpage? Mm-hmm. From the subcategory webpage, are the pages rendering? Can we ensure that from a technical perspective, the website allows us to present these products in these categories with the products showing on top by when this day happened? Mm-hmm. Where if they are on top, search engines can see just by the position where you put these links or where you put these sessions, that they are important. Search engines can determine the importance of things, of elements on a web page. So if you decide to put something on top, search engines can say, oh, this is very important for this category or for this website overall if you put it mm-hmm. on the homepage. Mm-hmm. So you short all of these little things that add up at the end to tell search engines when this day happened or when we present these products and categories to you, I want you to know that they are very important for us. Mm-hmm. And we are doing everything we can from an internal linking, from a technical standpoint, from a copy standpoint, from a UX, UI, from a shipping and return guarantees. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can to tell you this is something that is very important for us, for the store. Mm-hmm. And we want you, search engine, Google, being to treat it as such. And if you send all of these little signals that take, they might be little by themselves, but they do take lots of work, lots of planning and strategizing. If you do that, search engines might take your word and say, oh, that's very important and it looks of quality. When I put it against all these other products that exist out there, how do they compare? Do they have great reviews? If it is a new product, do they have all the information that you need? Do you have FAQs on the page? Do you have a privacy policy page, a return and shipping terms page? Mm-hmm. Do you have everything that a customer needs to trust your website? So it is a lot of little things like this that add up for you to tell search engines, hey, don't rank me on page 50. Please bring me up to top 3 positions.
Yes, yes. And some of these little things that you mentioned, it's very, very interesting as well, is obviously technically, you know, the site, you know, configuration should be perfect. You know, technically, I mean, we should have all the right, you know, header structures, alt text on pictures, the right keywords, right? And we should also have reviews, as you said. What other elements are important? I mean, there is something that is working like best or that can speed up those processes, or like videos or some other, you know, inbound ideas. Share with us more of these small things that are becoming more and more important.
That's such a great question. Right now, things are changing. Things are always changing.
Always changing
on the SEO space. However, as of late, changes are happening so fast. Mm-hmm. And this is because Google has seen itself in a position that it's never seen itself before. And this position is that you have new entrants that for the first time ever can do the same thing that they do, even sometimes better. And that's a threat. I don't know if you recall, they call something called a code red, where they made the founders of Google come back to work on the company. Yes. So
the right team to confront the new threat, right? From OpenAI, yeah.
Exactly. So because of this, they are on the move. And nowhere else that is reflected more than on the e-commerce space. And you can tell why. E-commerce is very profitable for anybody who runs a marketplace like Amazon, like Shopify, or some others where you can put products on. Google is trying to get into that space because it is something that it is intrinsically internet. It is very, very, very off the internet to have an e-commerce. You can have content anywhere, but if you want to have an e-commerce, you need to have the right set of tools and technology for you to be successful. And that's not something that can be replaced from one day to the other, even if you bring AI to the conversation.
Yes.
So to respond to your question, what's working right now for e-commerce and what's important? Right, you have to make sure that your pages are found and can be read by search engines like Bing, like Google. So technical requirements are a must. You need to ensure that you can render as many elements on the HTML, on the source of the page, as you can. We know we like pages that are interactive, that have a lot of filtering, that have a lot of actions. That gets accomplished with a lot of JavaScript in sometimes, most of the times. But if you want to ensure that your pages are crawled, that are understood as fast as possible, you want to ensure that all of those important elements, meta description, headings, title tags, pricing, product description, variants, you want to ensure that your tech team brings all that information into the HTML. Okay. It's not that Google cannot see if you use JavaScript, if you use JavaScript to bring that information to your product page. They very well can, okay, but it is more costly for them. And since it is more costly for them, they have to process billions and billions of products mm-hmm. all throughout the world. There is an incentive for your tech stack to be as efficient and as cheap to understand as possible. So as a technical SEO, for example, that's mm-hmm. something that I try to do with teams. I try to ensure that all the important information is right then and there for search engines to read and parse. So that's number one, technical stack.
Yeah.
Number two, you want to send the right trust signals. Can I trust you? How do I mm-hmm. how do I know that? Do you have product reviews? If you're new, do you have, as we talked before, privacy policy, privacy return return pages, return policy pages? Do mm-hmm. you have any guarantees for the product? Do you have any warranties for what you're trying to sell? Mm-hmm. If you have all those right things, not only that, does your product page looks good? Does it look trustworthy? Do the uh-huh. colors and branding colors and things like that looks fine? You don't have a logo of 512 pixels showing in a space where it was supposed to be only 128. So mm-hmm. all of these little things add up to trust. And if you're new, and I don't know who you are, but you're selling something that I'm trying to decide if I should purchase from you, all of those little things are going to work in a subconscious level to make me take my wallet and use my credit card on your website. Now, if you're non, well, you certainly, if you're non and you are a big e-commerce site, you certainly have those things, or people know who you are because you've done something good. Mm-hmm. Even though if you don't implement all the right SEO requirements, like Amazon, they do SEO. They have been doing SEO as of late.
Okay.
But it's not that they implement the best practices, because historically they didn't have to. They are Amazon, right? They built their own brand. And some search engines have implemented special considerations for sites like that one.
Yeah.
However, if you're not that big, or if you're not that well-known to have special considerations from a search engine standpoint, then you need to make sure all your ducks are lined in a row. So yes, we have technical stack. We have trust signals. Now we have something that is called semantic understanding. Semantic understanding, and this is not for your visitors, this is for search engines. Mm-hmm. You need to have the right elements for search engines and computers to understand what your category, subcategory products are about and how they are related to one another. How you make sure that that happens is making sure you have, number one, the technical stack works right, mm-hmm. making sure that you have the trust signals, and then those two are going to feed into this third. This third is built primarily by the internal linking of the site. If you are an e-commerce that has a star product, a very small e-commerce, let's say, you have a star product or a star category, the website needs to tell the story that that is the star category of your website. That means that that category needs to be linked from everywhere. That makes sense, of course. Spamming doesn't work nowadays. It does sometimes, but you don't want to be a spammer if you want to be in the business for a long time, for a long period. You want to make sure that your website tells a story that that category, that product is the star, is the thing that you're trying to sell. You can do that for not only one product. You can do it for various products, various categories. There are certain strategies that you can use to use dynamic internal linking, where links and where they are positioned change based on any goal or any priority of the business for any given period, stage, or season. That those things can change, and search engines understand those changes. That's part of good practices, right? You change your inventory, you change product models, and then you make sure that all those signals from the old models, from the old products, from the old inventory are redirected into the new ones. So that's part of semantic understanding. Another big part of that is structured data. One of the things that I've seen, a heightened focus from search engines, is structured data. Why? Because structured data is a very simple, a very efficient way for search engines to understand what a page is about. And just in the last couple of years, there has been so many launches on new structured data, new properties, new schema types for products, not only for products, but for all kinds of websites. We even have new structured data for course types. So when you see search engines investing in releasing new technology or new requirements in a space, as such, when you see them release those things one after the other so fast, it is because it is of some importance for them.
Yeah.
So structured data allows them to understand pages and what they are about efficiently, cheaply. And as an e-commerce, you want to make sure that your structured data is on point, that it has the right elements. So computers, like search engines, what they are, they understand as fast as possible that your product page is product A, or let's say you have a t-shirt that is, let's say you have a t-shirt, but you have variants of that t-shirt. You want to ensure that your schema or your structured data reflects all those variants, but
that it's maintained.
That is
right?
That is maintained.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure that the blue one, that is the main one, it is seen as the main one and not the turquoise one that change the canonical, and there's a mismatch of which one is supposed to be the main product. So all of these things can be transmitted and given to search engines through structured data, through the right implementation of structured data.
Yes, yes. So it's like maintaining kind of a consistency between products. This is one, but also highlighting the cash cow from within this product catalog, right? And probably elaborate more, or let the surgeons understand that this is a star product, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Darwin, I'm really surprised by it. You are talking like more than half an hour about SEO without even mentioning the word keywords, right? I mean, what is the, you know, for everyone, I mean, well, not experts, right? It's all about, okay, how do we find those keywords and how we find our niche, right? And what is the role of keywords in SEO today?
Oh, that's such a good one. That's very good. I liked it. I liked that you picked up on it.
Yeah.
Keywords are not important. But they are. Wow. No, but they are.
They are. Okay.
They are not important, but they are. Yeah. Let me explain myself.
Okay.
You want to ensure that if you have something, you have a product page for, let's say, I have this remote control. This is from a Samsung TV.
Yeah.
You want to ensure that you name it on the title, Samsung remote control for 47 inches monitor. You want to make sure that those keywords are there. Mm-hmm. But they are keywords because they correctly describe what the product are about. I cannot say, but what would I be doing? I cannot say that this will work for Sony TVs or this is for an Apple TV just because the Apple keyword has a higher amount of searches and volume. So I will be doing a disservice not only to the potential buyers because they are going to be disappointed when it gets home to their Apple TV. They go like this. They cannot turn on the monitor or the TV.
Sure, sure.
I'm doing a disservice to my business because I cannot be trusted. So from that standpoint, keywords do not matter. If you do the right thing, which is naming the products and categories according to what they contain and what they are about, then you are already doing the right thing. Again, SEO is not about keywords. SEO is about matching people's needs and wants for information or products or services with the seller's needs and wants, which is to provide a product or a service, and making sure that the clients understand that I, as a seller, have this product that you can find through a search engine. So that happens through the keyword. But the keyword is important in that way because it is the keyword, like a key that unlocks the door between those two meetings. However, the business or SEO should not focus on the keyword. It should focus on the transaction happening. It should focus on the conversion. It should focus on, okay, I'm getting 20,000 visitors to this category page. But when they search for, and I've seen this so many times, there's something there behind it. Does it meet the intent of the searcher? So I've seen time and again where you have a page that it's about something. Well, I've seen an e-commerce where people were searching for a lingerie, right? You will think that that will be maybe a woman looking for something for her or a husband or looking for a gift. But I've seen where the intent, that's not the sole intent, where there are other people searching for those kind of pages because they have a need to look at the imagery that those kind of pages normally have, right? Which is women with not too many clothes on them. So,
got it.
If you as an SEO, you see that you have 20,000 visitors coming and most of them are not for the intent that you want the page to be about, then what are you even doing? You need to understand that traffic keywords are not everything. You want to ensure that the intent is matches what the category product is about.
Interesting. You mean might be the same search, but completely different intent.
Exactly.
And probably you're attracting a lot of visitors, but they don't have the intent that you're looking for. And this will be probably degrading your overall SEO score.
Exactly.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. So Darren, I mean, we must talk about AI in this context. I know that you are also, you know, beyond, you know, leading, you know, major SEO implementations and doing a lot of work on the technical side of, you also have the startup founder hat, right? And you've done a lot of things in this area as well. Right. So I would love for you to share more. How do you see AI is entering the field, and how is it reshaping the field, or maybe not? Like, let's talk about AI implementation. I know you're doing a lot of cool stuff at AI Studio Lab, right? And I would love also to discuss about GSE Guardian, right? Your Chrome extension, but let's probably start with AI entering SEO. Again, available for everyone, right, to use.
Absolutely.
And how do you see this evolving in the next years?
I was asked if the SERPs are going to disappear, and the SERPs are search engine result pages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've been thinking about ever since November. You know how people have important days in their minds when something significant happened?
Yes.
Just like that.
Something emotional. Right, it's happening.
Just like that, I have the date, November 30th, 2022, ChatGPT was released.
Yes.
However, the field was new to me. I've been a follower since 2014 of machine learning back then, when neural nets were released and a lot of testing were being done. I've been following the field for such a long time. So to me, just like SEO, this is another passion that if they let me, I won't sleep just reading on stuff and trying to do new things. What I believe that AI is going to do to SEO is that it's going to make it more competitive. Why that is? When you have something that shortens the time, that shortens the effort that you need in order for you to get the information that you seek, without a question, you're going to use that tool. So AI is not going to replace the need of information that humans have. It's not going to replace the various human needs. It's just going to make it that much more efficient. It's going to make it that much more varied and faster to access to. So what that means to SEO is, well, what do you, as a customer, yourself, do you rather spend 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes browsing through 10 links, 20 links, doing research? Or do you rather have an AI agent like Microsoft Copilot, like a ChatGPT, GPT-4, or any other of the open source solutions out there? Do you rather have something like Siri say, go read the 10 articles and give you the information you need? There's no doubt about it. That's where things are going. That's the better solution. So if as an SEO, I cannot see that and understand that that's where things are going, I am covering the sun with a single finger, right? I'm just trying to prevent the inevitable. So, SEO is not going to change because what we do it's not like we were talking about before. We don't worry about the keyword. We worry about the intent.
Intent.
Intent is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a need of search. Now, who is going to be doing the search? That's what's going to change. It's not going to be who, it's going to be what. What is going to be doing the search? Well, AI agents, probably mm-hmm. now based on LLMs, maybe another stack in the future. But that's the more efficient thing. The LLMs or the AI agents still need to search for that product. It still needs a website or a repository to find the product mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. Still need to read the content, parse, understand what the product is. So all of those three things that I talked about, oh, and make sure that that content is of some trust. So those things that I talked about earlier, we can see that they are going to still be relevant in the AI space. Because when I send my agent, I want to make sure that my agent brings me something that I asked for, right? Keywords, mm-hmm. having the right information, having the meta descriptions, mm-hmm. having mm-hmm. the title, mm-hmm. something that I can trust, has great reviews, has great linkings, has great backlinks, something that it is cheap to access. And that's not for me that they want doing the ask. That's for mm-hmm. the LLM or tool provider, because they want to make sure that their operational costs are as low and efficient as possible. And there are tools out there like structured data that makes that possible. Mm-hmm. So SEO from that standpoint is not going to change. What's going to change is, well, you're not going to have 10 blue links or 15. You're going to have an agent saying, go to this e-commerce store, has the product you're seeking. It has 20 reviews. It is very trustworthy. Your brother-in-law bought it 2 years ago from you. You can buy it again from here.
Mm-hmm.
But
interesting.
For the AI agent to do that, he needed all those mm-hmm. three things that I mentioned previously.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, AI is like democratizing those sophisticated, you know, research and implementation tool. Like everyone can use it, right?
Absolutely.
But still, the competition is maybe, I mean, the search engines, let's say the AI on the search engine side, they need to make some kind of a decisions, right? If everyone making the right analysis, research, implementation, then there need to be probably new ways for them to pick and choose the best, right? Probably more like categories will evolve. Like we talk about trust, about data structures, right? About using, okay, the right intent, not right keywords. So maybe new categories will emerge that are probably differentiating between brands, because if everyone has the access to all these amazing tools, no one can eventually win, right? There's going to be some probably more selection criteria, I believe. So, Dovin, I wanted to ask you and have your feedback on that. I mean, you look at the big companies versus the new startup, right? I mean, SEO for you is like a fair ground for innovation and discoverability, or it's just a game of the rich, you know, and doing all these, because no one can reach a level of the things that we've discussed here, right? Like today, I just from a different angle altogether, what TikTok did. I mean, you can be like no one with even zero followers, and if you put like few, you know, nicely looking videos out there, they can go viral. TikTok doesn't care how many followers you have, right? What's your thought in terms of the SEO game? Okay, is it like a fair chance for everyone?
It's not, because it's based mm-hmm. on resources. The more resources you have, the better your SEO most of the times is going to be. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm not speaking about only money. When I talk about resources, I'm talking about human resources, human knowledge. in order for you to get the knowledge, you need time, you need investment. So that takes resources. If you are somebody starting up, there are some platforms that are doing very good things. I don't know if I can mention the names, but...
You sure? Yeah, you can.
Well, one is based there. Wix has been doing some pretty amazing things on the space to ensure that at least the basics are taken care of, that the resources that you need, that you need to invest as a sole, let's say you are a sole proprietor, just a single entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You want to ensure that the platform that you choose to build your e-commerce on does not take a lot of resources out of you, does not take you to know SEO for 3-5 years in order for you to know what to put on the page. So WordPress is doing, still, it takes a lot of knowing. And so there are some good movement in that front.
Yeah.
So it's never fair because you need resources, and not all of us always have all of the resources. However,
yes, of course,
that doesn't mean that there's nothing you can do, right?
Of course, and specifically, you know. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and search engines have been doing something on that front as of late. I don't know if you've seen the rise of Reddit on the on the SERPs. If you've seen the rise of forums type, that's search engines trying to give a voice to those that do not have as many resources as some of these big brands.
Interesting. And obviously all the discussion around SEO is primarily Google, right? And Bing, but we live in a multi-platform world, right? And communities. So you have the Amazon side and, obviously, you know, the social networks, and people are searching a lot on social networks. All this discussion that and all the information that you shared, how is it, you know, implemented or, you know, thought about at least in the strategy and implementation while you have all these other, you know, siloed environments like Amazon and social networks?
You want to ensure that you are on as many marketplaces as you can cover. As your resources allow you to cover. If you can ship and deliver a great customer experience on other platforms beyond your own website, e-commerce store, you want to be there not only because you're going to be getting new clients, you're going to be on a new marketplace, but from an SEO standpoint, that gives you something which is credibility through backlinks. If I see an e-commerce that is listed on Amazon, on eBay, on has TikTok, has Instagram, all of those things tells me that there's somebody behind this brand that cares enough to have all of these touch points. And if extra points if they are well maintained, right? If they are not abandoned. So not only I can see that as a customer, search engines can see that and can reward you in some way in some way under the trust column, saying, well, this brand is on all these other marketplaces. They certainly or probably needed to be vetted in some way. So all of those things count.
Wow. Dalvin, this is, for anyone who is not expert like you in SEO and think he has some knowledge about SEO, like me, it was really, really insightful. And, you know, obviously we all try to improve, you know, the our level of exposure, right, out there, right? And you mentioned a lot about product pages, right? But you know, people are creating so much content. I heard that only in the last year, maybe more than a year since ChatGPT was launched, the amount of content that was created in the world equals to the amount of content that, you know, from the beginning of the internet.
Wow.
Like in more than 1 year. So it's really, really crazy what's going on. So I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to add that probably we've missed, which is important?
Oh, certainly. So you asked me about things that I've been doing on the AI front. I'm a builder by heart. As you mentioned, I have a couple of plugins and Chrome extensions, not plugins, a couple of Chrome extensions in the SEO space, and they make the SEO work that much better. But something that I've been trying to merge my two passions, which is SEO, e-commerce, the web, and AI, it's on something that I called, or is called, Add to Cart AI. So Add to Cart AI is a new way of shopping. And this new way of shopping, what allows you to do, I'm certain you have done groceries. And, and if you let me ask you, what is the first thing you do when you are doing groceries? Is it not to make a list? Go, where do you make your groceries list?
Yes, if I do it online, so I just pick the previous list, or, you know, just adding, you know, the some of the unique items that we need.
Do you have anybody send you items? Like for me, for example, I have my wife sending me 50 items list.
Of course.
So
yes.
Then you have to go through each one. So when ChatGPT released, not ChatGPT, OpenAI released the APIs, I understood that for the first time, there was the chance of true semantic understanding of what each of those words on a list mean. So to me, that means that I no longer needed to go through each product page and click add on each one of those items that I wanted to buy. So what I thought was, well, why do I not make something that takes the entire list, understands it, and adds it right away into the cart for me to review and buy? So that's what Add to Cart AI is. Add to Cart AI takes your shopping list. It doesn't need to be groceries. It can be anything, but let's take groceries. Takes your grocery list, takes, understand, two apples, three cartons of milk, five eggs, and adds those products into the cart with one single click, with the amount, the quantity that you specified. If you put pounds, it adds the pounds there. And it does that because we have the LLM on the back end understanding what those words are. So before, you needed to make an algorithm to understand each one of those words. That's no longer needed. So we submitted a patent. We're patent pending, and we were accepted into Microsoft for Startups. So we are working on that, and it will be coming soon for all e-commerce sites. First on WooCommerce, then on Shopify. So that's a TBD.
And what's the time frame?
A month. So in a month, in a month, it'll be on WooCommerce.
Amazing. Amazing. So any type of information, please share with us so we can put it in the show notes. Sounds really, really amazing. So you kept the good good news for last, right?
Sounds good. Yes.
Okay. Darren, so thank you so much. Really exciting. I feel that we have at least, we can spend another hour talking about these topics. So probably we keep that for the next episode, probably, that we need to plan.
Well,
so I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ethan. It's been amazing being here with you. You're a great host. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimy, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimy.net to learn more. It's Vimy, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.